Welcome to another episode of Academy Days. I'm your host and author, Judith. Enjoy the story. Academy Days, Episode 39, Unpacking. Carmen Oliver winced as she hunkered down behind the railing of the third-story balcony. She rubbed her aching knee and peered downward at the lamp-lit piazza. Below, three people stood in a bunch, arms folded, while another must have been right in front of the door, out of sight beneath the balcony. Mrs. Sawyer's relatives were back, only apparently Edie, housekeeper extraordinaire, wasn't letting them into the house. A woman's voice rose, graveled and pocked by words Carmen tried not to think about. Elena Mallory, Mrs. Sawyer's sister. Lena Wheeling, actually. She'd brought her son back, and those two grandkids who always drove separately on their motorcycles. The grandchildren were older than Carmen had originally thought. They just acted like spoiled 13-year-olds.
"She is my sister," Lena said. "We've been sisters all our lives."
"I'm aware of your relationship to Mrs. Sawyer, Miss Wheeling. Mrs. Sawyer is not at home to visitors."
"Not at home, la-dee-da."
Lena stomped into view and veered across the grass towards her car. She turned and shook her fist at the house.
"She takes in homeless people and gives money away like candy, but she won't let her own sister come to visit."
"Please call and make an appointment," Edie said, her voice carrying like the calm resolve of a museum narrator.
"Appointment!" Lena shouted, a sound hoarse with age. 1 year ago, she was still apologizing for abandoning her sisters. Ask her if Lily would need an appointment if she were still alive. Ask her if she's forgotten Lily, dead because her own big sister abandoned her."
Carmen felt it, a sudden stillness below, and even, somehow, emanating from the house itself. Then a window slid open somewhere.
"I'm sorry, Lena. I'm still sorry. But now I have just a handful of years left in my life, and somehow I have to be able to say no to you. It's easier like this. I'm sorry. But you're not sending any more of my money into the machines at Ocean City, and I don't want you ruining those grandkids like I ruined you."
"Ruined!"
Lena shouted.
"Yes."
Mrs. Sawyer's voice wavered in strength.
"By letting you believe that money is like air and water."
The window slid shut. Lena's voice rose into a barrage of words so granulated they became almost impossible to understand, which was probably a good thing. Carmen crawled backwards away from the railing.
"That woman you hired is probably siphoning money away under your nose. And don't think I don't know why you chose her. That girl in the wheelchair isn't Lily. Do you hear me? She's not Lily. Lily is dead."
Carmen froze. Girl in the wheelchair. It was one thing to hear somebody like Chandler Pace call her wheelchair girl. But for a grown woman to shove past all other identifiers and say, "that girl in the wheelchair," was like... Carmen gulped. And what did she, Carmen, have to do with anybody named Lily? In the distance, past the base of Villette Hill, lights sparked on the highway as a car turned into the rim of the housing development. Red, green, blue, yellow lights. A police car? Oh boy. One of the neighbors didn't like Lena's volume, and maybe a few of the phrases she was currently using to heat up the already warm July evening.
"Mom, let's go."
Her son's voice came lazy and slow through his nose. He strolled toward their car.
"We've been winning big lately anyway."
"But
What about my college fund?
The granddaughter kicked her helmet across the yard like a soccer ball. The grandson shuffled towards his bike.
You keep spending it on piercings. There won't be much of you left to go to college soon,
Mr. Wheeling said.
You might as well get a waitress job at one of them casinos and work your way up.
The girl wailed something sharp, like a foul, high echo of Lena's words. She gave the helmet one last kick, and it skidded into the street, right as the police car pulled to the curb. Something crunched.
My helmet!
The girl screeched.
Get in the car, Lena said. Now!
She stepped onto the driveway, the glint of her cane flashing embers of the police car lights.
One moment, please, an officer said, and slammed the passenger door of the car.
His partner came around the hood, and the two of them strode up the drive.
Carmen,
Mom hissed from the balcony door behind her.
What are you doing?
Watching the show, Carmen said, even as her elbows and knees sent ache up her limbs.
I can see that. What's going on?
Mom hunkered down beside Carmen.
What have they been saying?
You're too young, Mom. Maybe when you're older. Mom snorted.
I should wash your mouth out with soap for eavesdropping on these people.
Wouldn't it make more sense to wash out my ears?
I can yell in my sister's yard if I want to, Lena said. This is private property.
The policeman's voice was a solid thrum of words.
We were leaving anyway, so you can tell.
Mom clamped her hands over Carmen's ears. In a storm of voices and vehicle motors, the Wheelings let it be known that they were leaving Valette Hill. A minute later, the night was still again.
Well, that was diverting, Mom said. Let's go to bed now.
Carmen slowly got to her feet. She followed Mom inside into the cool, clean apartment on the third floor of Mrs. Sawyer's mansion. 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, dining room, kitchen, living room, office. Where the baseboards didn't gap away from the walls, the floor didn't shake when a truck drove by in the street, and nothing gnawed or moved through the empty spaces between paneling and siding. Everything felt so solid here. But who was Lily? And what did she have to do with Carmen?
Thanks for coming to help me finish unpacking, Carmen said a few days later, pointing to a small stack of boxes.
You can put books on shelves.
Books!
Lacey circled the pyramid of boxes. How do you want them arranged?
Carmen shrugged, smiling. I figured you'd have some ideas. Mom and I don't really care.
She sat on the couch and propped her feet on a large ottoman. Hot July sun pressed against the curtained windows, but the central air clicked on, sending a cooling whoosh across the room. How different this place was from the shaky, uneven floors of the trailer, the dreary browns of the Riverside Motel, or even the dim lighting and slightly damp scent of the winter's basement.
We don't deserve this, God. At least I don't, Carmen prayed, but thanks anyway.
What a year. Since last fall, she and Mom had lived in 4 different places. Carmen looked at the last stack of unpacked boxes. She and Mom had less stuff than they used to have. Some things had been left behind when the river flooded the Riverside trailer park, and other things, when storage had to be considered, had suddenly seemed unimportant.
I remember this book.
Lacey held up a copy of What Katie Did.
My mom read it to us when I was little.
Lacey grinned.
I remember thinking Katie's Game of Rivers sounded so fun. And the way everybody gathered in Katie's room for Christmas was just cozy.
Carmen leaned her head back on a pillow and grinned at the ceiling.
Oh boy, you've found the invalid book box.
Fluttering the pages of the book, Lacey sat back on her heels.
The what?
Carmen laughed.
When I was about 8 or 9, this lovely old lady at church started giving me books. What Katie Did by Susan Coolidge, Louisa May Alcott's Jack and Jill, Pollyanna by Eleanor Porter, books where little girls who were injured improved in character. Oh, Lacey peered into the box. Sounds rather pointed. Carmen laughed. Oh, I liked the stories, only I already knew what it was like to have to stay in bed all day, and when I was about 10, I only wanted to read mysteries. Funny, not many detective stories are written about preteen girls with chronic pain. Carmen stood up and came over to the box. Wait until you see what she gave me on my 11th birthday. She dug down into the box and came up with a little hardback book. Lessons from Beth March and Tiny Tim. A devotional for physically impaired children? Lacey gasped, eyes wide. No! Carmen giggled. Oh, yes. But that's so heavy-handed to load you down with all these. Lacey pulled another vintage book from the box. I mean, my mom probably has all of these books, except the devotional, and they are interesting, taken one by one. Carmen traced the raised calligraphy letters on a blue cover. Honest, Lacey, the lady was an old dear, and I was sad when she died. I don't resent her gifts, it's just... Carmen looked towards the sunshine coming in the windows. I stopped reading them when I was 12 and shoved them in this box every time she gave me one. Somewhere along the line, I realized my efforts to be good and nice weren't really working. I had to let God change me. Without Jesus, I couldn't really ever be good, not deeply, lastingly good. Carmen opened a nearby box. So, once I get tired of trying to be Miss Happy Long-Suffering on my own and then got through a rather sour stage, best left undescribed, I let Jesus come into my heart and change me. Work through me. Lacey opened another box. Oh, now, here's one of my favorites. She pulled out a stack of books from the box. My transformation came after Mom read us this. She held up C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. My mom had just read us the chapter where Aslan is killed by the witch. I had bad dreams that night and woke up wailing something about killing Aslan with a piece of cake. When Mom could understand me, and I was really awake, I confessed to gouging out a piece of the cake she'd baked for Sunday dinner. I felt just like Edmund taking the Turkish delight from the witch. Of course, my mom explained it was really Jesus I'd hurt by disobeying and stealing. For the first time, Jesus dying for my sins made sense. So I confessed my sins to him and asked him in. Lacey placed the 7-book series on the shelf. Funny, the way stories bring back real memories. She paused, her fingers grazing across the spines. They have purpose, stories. She stayed there, on her knees, head slightly cocked, and seemed to forget Carmen was even there. The sound of cars pulling into the driveway below signaled that Mrs. Sawyer's soiree guests were arriving. Guests with assets like her own. Mom would help them brainstorm ideas for a new Easton Foundation meant to aid families relocating from crime-laden neighborhoods. This would be the 2nd foundation Mrs. Sawyer had launched since Mom had started working for her. How many more would she organize by the end of the summer? What's this? Lacey pulled a black binder from the bottom shelf. A picture album? Family pictures? Lacey flipped it open. My mom gets our pictures printed into photo books, but my grandma has some albums like this. Carmen shrugged. It must be Mrs. Sawyer's. Mom found it on a closet shelf last week. I guess she forgot to take it down. Well, there's only 2 pictures in it anyway. Lacey held the album up. 3 girls, the same three in both pictures. Look at those dresses. My grandma has patterns in her attic that look like that. I don't know why she keeps them. Remember last year on Retro Day? Miss Tone... Carmen leaned forward. Lacey, the girl in the middle is Mrs. Sawyer. She showed Ira and I pictures when we were doing that history project about the school building. And I'll bet that girl to the left, the tall, pouty one, is her sister, Lena. And the one sitting down must be the sister that died because of the cold boarding house. Yeah? Lacey turned the picture back to herself and held it close to her face. Hey, she's not just sitting in a chair, she's in an old-fashioned wheelchair. Lacey blinked and looked up. I wonder what happened. Carmen held out her hand, an uneasy quiver in her stomach. Let me see, she said. Lacey was right. Mrs. Sawyer's youngest sister sat in a wheelchair.
She's not Lily.
Lena's words from the evening before scrolled across Carmen's thoughts. Lily, of course, the third sister, short for Lillian. She'd written all three Mallory sisters' names into her paper, Hope, Elena, and Lillian.
Lily is dead.
Lena's voice screeched in her mind. Carmen shoved the photo album back at Lacey. Take it. Put it back on the shelf, she said.
Sure. You okay?
Carmen swallowed. I just figured something out. Carmen gazed around the bright, clean, solid apartment. All of this was for Lily. All of this was to atone for something that had happened at least 70 years ago. But she wasn't Lily. She was Carmen Oliver. And sometime soon, she'd have to make that clear to Mrs. Sawyer, even if it meant packing up and leaving Valette Hill.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Academy Days. My podcast account allows me to see how many downloads each podcast episode gets. I like to check how many downloads I have within the first week of an episode being published. And for episode 38, he broke my record for the most episodes downloaded of a new episode in its first week. Thank you so much for your support. Until next time, bye.